Excuse me. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, once again, we are back in Romans, and exciting times again. It's such a potent kind of book. So many things happening in this book, and I have to say that so many things going on, and I was all over the show, you know, studying it. It's here, it's there, but eventually, you know, the Holy Spirit is faithful in just putting some thoughts down for us today. So I want to talk about God's faithfulness in the whole grand scheme of things that's happening. But and also, how does that work out in our own lives? It has to work out in our own lives, because if we just read the Bible based on what has happened in history and we don't do anything, it doesn't apply to us, then we might as well just read a magazine. And we just sit there and watch something that is interesting, whatever you watch, you know. So it has to work itself out. Faith without works is dead. It has to work itself out. And you know what? Yesterday I found, in the week, God has really spoken to me about this, about how it works out. So I'll share some testimony. I don't expect to say this and me not having any evidence of what I'm trying to teach or try to bring here. But yeah, it's just, Alex in chapter 10 last week, where he talked about, you know, God providing an easy way of salvation. There's salvation for everybody. And it's this mystery that when I read and studied the Bible, it's kind of like coming from, each one of us have our own way of how we interpret scripture. So for me, it's like interpreting it from a sense of, I didn't understand God calling, you know, the Jews and then the Gentiles, right? So Jesus, being a Jew, this is now me just sharing my thoughts, right? Being a Jew, I'm thinking, oh, but what if we all had to be Jews and we're not? And then it means we are counted out. We counted out. So in that thought, I'm like, I see the love of God beyond nations, beyond the color of somebody's skin, the different ethnic groups. He loves the world, for God so loved the world that he gave Jesus for us. And whomsoever would believe in him, whether it's Jew, Gentile, whatever background you come from, whoever would believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That there is the hope. That there is the hope. And Alex was talking about the salvation plan of God. But it depended on them, the Jews, believing in Jesus Christ. And we will see in the first verse that Anne read there is that, I asked then, did God reject his people? By no means. Wow. Even in their disobedience, he did not reject them in terms of the bigger, the grand scheme of things. God knows that all of us will fail. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So it wasn't because of our works. It wasn't because of how good we are. It wasn't because of our degrees and accolades and all those things. It is while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For all of us have sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. And so even in that as well, it's like I could see the love of God even in that. And so the Jews rejected Jesus, but God never rejected them. Did God reject his people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people, whom he foreknew. Nothing takes God by surprise. Nothing takes him by surprise. And as Alex was sharing that, Jesus came to his own. Remember, Jesus came to his own, and his own rejected him. Just this amazing love in God's faithfulness, which I want to talk about, is like even God's faithfulness in that setting I just read there is just mind-blowing. How we don't need to perform in order to be liked or to be accepted by Jesus. He did it anyway. He know you're going to mess up next week. He know what you did last summer. He knows all of that, but he accepts you and he continuously love us, and then we are grafted in as Gentiles. We are grafted in, and the Gentiles took it by both hands. That's what Alex was saying. The Gentiles then discovered, hey, it's not about being a Jew. It's about believing that Jesus died, he rose again, and he's in heaven and he's interceding for us. Wow. How many of you would have loved if Jesus was just hanging out with you this week? Like in physical form, like Jesus hanging out with you. And that is such an amazing, because we become conscious of Jesus is here next to me and I'm hanging out with him. But he says to his disciples, how did the disciples feel when Jesus said, I don't leave you comfortless. It's for your good that I go away. I'll be like, Jesus, come on, man. Take me with, or, you know, stay for another bit. But he says, I won't leave you comfortless. It's for your good that I go away, unless the Holy Spirit won't come. We all have, if you believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is now in you. And that relationship of Jesus is still evident. It's there, the relationship, but it's now through the Holy Spirit. And I think Alex or Paul was saying, Lord, fill us with your Spirit. It means we become aware of this love dimension that we have in Jesus. And so the Gentiles grabbed it with both hands. And again, nothing took God by surprise. And it's this whole kind of thing in the book where he foreknew. And he knew that we were going to make mistakes. But yet, we are grafted in. We are part of this plan. We are part of this plan. So, in chapter 11, we see how the Gentiles are grafted in. And in that God says that, I have a remnant of people. A remnant of people. A remnant of people, it means that I've reserved people. Paul is saying in verse 1, God did not reject them. Abraham's descended. Remember in Genesis 12 when God said to Abraham, leave your father's country and I will show you where to go. And he says that I will bless you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So God started there as well. It's not about the Jews. It's about all the families of the earth will be blessed. There's it. All the families of the earth will be blessed. Paul understood this even when, remember when he persecuted God's people? He was Saul on the road to Damascus. Persecuted God's people. And it's amazing that Paul writes this book as if he wasn't the person who persecuted. We read it now and say, oh, the Apostle Paul, what a man. But he was Saul who persecuted God's people. And yet God called him not just to speak to the Jews, but he says, I'm calling you to the Gentiles. The same Saul on the road to Damascus. The disciples didn't even believe his conversion. For 3 days he was blinded, and Ananias prayed for him. The disciples did not even believe that it was a true conversion. But he says he understood that. He says, I'm an Israelite. I get it. But he also says, I will not. My salvation is caused to help other people and reconcile other people to God. That's our job, to reconcile people back to God. Speaking of that, let me just quickly give a testimony. This week I did a workshop in Swansea, a school in Swansea. And I did 15-year-olds, and there's this, two girls are sat one side, and this one said, I could hear her saying to the other one, I want what he's got. And so I'm speaking and I'm thinking about Paul when Paul is saying, you know, that we shouldn't think that we are superior because we know Jesus than people who don't know. And so she says, I want what he's got. And I'm speaking, but I'm trying to, you know, when you speak, but it also just wants to be, you know, what's happening there. I hear you. Yes, I agree with you, but, you know. And she said, I want what he's got. And then afterwards, I went to her and I said, hey, I overheard you were saying something about you want to be. What's that all about? And she said, I was in an accident, and I lost all my confidence. And I look at you, and I said to my friend, that's what I miss. That's what I want. And the two of them were talking while I was doing my workshop. And they were talking, and then this girl said, you know, when I have a son one day, I want his name to be Ricardo. I'm thinking, like, what conversations are happening here? And I said, I hope you're not going to have a kid on 15 years old. Get married, girl. You know, and it's like, please don't go there. But what for me stood out was the love of God in us. People can see it. People can feel it. People can look at us and say, I want what they've got. I know what she means. To her, it's not just confidence. In Hebrews 10:35, the Bible says, do not throw away your confidence, because your confidence will be richly rewarded. So she wants this confidence, but what I'm standing in, even if I'm doing a workshop, I represent the kingdom of God with my lifestyle and how I serve people. And straight after that, I did my sessions, it was finished. I then went to my car, and then the two of them came with another girl and says, hi, Ricardo, how are you doing? We thought we're never going to see you again. And then the cousin came, and the cousin said to me, thank you so much for helping my cousin building her confidence, because I can see she's different now. I did not talk about confidence. Didn't talk about confidence. The cousin comes to me to say thank you. And I was saying, see what God is doing here. God is shaping and molding these young people. And that there where Paul says, I understood this. I'm an Israelite. I could easily just say I'm staying with the Jews. Forget the Gentiles. But we are called to release God's faithfulness of how he has been faithful to us. Paul says, again, he himself, God himself did not reject, in verse 2, God did not reject us. So even if you feel today that you being rejected, I want to say to you, you are not rejected. You're not a failure. You are blessed and highly favored by God, that you're the apple of his eye, that your name is engraved on the palm of his hand. Even if you feel rejected, that feeling is not true. It might feel like it, but that feeling in God, he says, I love you and I will love you and you. I will leave you, like I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. In those moments, we have to go to what God is saying about us. What is his word towards us? What are his thoughts towards us? In verse 4, it says about the remnant, and what was God's answer to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed down the knee to Baal. So too, at this present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. And if by grace, then it cannot be based on works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. So Paul is saying, are they going to come and kill me now? They're going to kill me. They've killed. Like, they're going to come. And God says, no. I have 7,000. 7,000 people that I've preserved. My faithfulness, my will, and my purposes in them will help the people that they're going to serve. I have 7,000. So Roz asks for children's ministry. We're thinking numbers. How many people do we need to have for this children ministry? Just need 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6, and if you feel like you are out, then it can be 8, 9, 10, 11. A remnant of people that God is raising up, that he has preserved, he has reserved you for a time such as this. And it's not about the multitudes. It's about God in one man, one woman who is faithful and say, Lord, come and do in me what you want to do. And then it begins to spread. That's what God does. God doesn't look at how many people there need to be. Adam and Eve, boom, humanity. Don't need lots of. He just need one man, one woman, faithful to the assignment, and let's go. God will work in us everything that he needs to do where we are. He will work that in us. But he says, I have a remnant of people. A remnant of people. So yesterday I went to a wedding. I won't say, I was vexed at the preacher at a wedding. It wasn't like a wedding in Cana. I was mad at this preacher I was just really disappointed. Because this preacher at this wedding spoke about displaying God in a way as if God is, it's a us and them. It's I'm the preacher, you're the sinner. I'm not even a sinner, but I felt bad for people who did not know Jesus. And he went on for an hour. And he said, he won't be an hour. I said, liar. He went on for an hour. And going into people. And as we sat, me and Naomi sat at this table with the family. Now there are, the one next to me is a preacher. The other one over there is, you know, the man who brings the fire from heaven. These cousins don't know Jesus. And they say every time, now the preacher is the father of this guy here. And she said, every time when I come to these as weddings or funerals, we end up feeling shameful. I sat there and I was thinking about this, as where the Jews thought that they were superior than the Gentiles. And this lady asked the question, but the Holy Spirit said to me, she's not just posing that there's hurt there. So she's asking the other sister, their sisters, and the other one asked about, so what is this about speaking in tongues? These questions were asked not to find out the answer. It was to trip them up. And these guys begin to theologically begins to open up the scriptures. I sat there, and then the two of them went away, and these two, so I asked them, so what was that really about? What's really happening in there? So they begin to start talking to me about the hurt that was caused and still being caused by the church, the preacher man. Me and Naomi, we stood there and we felt so hurt. And they were saying, oh, are you religious? I said, all depends what you say about religious. Like, what's your terminology? What do you mean by that? Are you religious? Because what she was asking me is almost like, are you like them? I said, no, I'm not. I said, I did not come into religion. I discovered a relationship with Jesus. So I asked them, if Jesus had to be here right now, how would he have treated you in that situation? They said, he wouldn't. But his servants are not displaying and representing him well. My cousin back in the day used to drink a lot. He said, Ricardo, I love God, I just don't like his children. I love God, but I don't like his children. His children doesn't reflect his nature. Yet I know he's loving, but I can't reconcile this love and this attitude. Oh my days, I was vexed. In the car, I said, Bubs, let's pray. Because they're going to have another family event. And the brother going to preach again. Her husband said he felt so hurt that when he posed a question, even he said, they can just say, I agree to disagree. Just say that and it's okay. But it's this thing I want you to get, this like hitting people, Bible bashing people. And they said, but you're different. You and your wife are different. I said, we don't do religion. We have a relationship with the Father, and we can relate to pain. We can relate to hurt. And Jesus relates to that. Jesus wept with Lazarus and his family. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. And that's what God is calling us, that he's got a remnant of people in LBC that he says, this is the remnant of people that I'm choosing. People that will seek my face. People that will be willing to say, Lord, even if I don't understand, I'm gonna just preserve myself for what you're saying. And whatever you've got for this city, for this place where we are, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. He has chosen you. Even if you feel like it, don't feel like it. He has chosen you because you are part of that remnant of people that he has called. In verse 8, it says, God will allow things like what I've... Let me just read verse 8. This is the thing in verse 8 that I'm just my thoughts. I'll just put my thoughts down and then I've got a couple of thoughts here. God will allow things to happen in order to bring us back to his purpose. Just a thought. What is God doing in LBC? What has he done before to what he's doing now? And we begin to weigh it up and say, oh, maybe 2002 was better than it is now, right? Or maybe 5 years ago it was better than what it is now. Because we're looking at people, we're looking at numbers, we're looking at youth ministry, children's ministry, we're looking at all. We don't have these things. But God has got a way of bringing us back to his purpose. So what is his purpose for LBC? His purpose is so that more people can get to know him and love him and begin to spread that out. We are engrafted into his purpose, and God is calling people out there back to him, but he is using, he will use you. God will use things to bring us back in order to fulfill his purposes. And verse 11, my thoughts are there. It's like, again, I don't have a lot of time. It is just, I just wanted to bring my thoughts down. Verse 11, we the Gentiles are grafted into God's original plan. So this is another thought I had. I was thinking, okay, so this is me in prayer. So Jesus, so you say with the Jews, and so the Jews messed it up a bit, and now I'm plan B? That doesn't sound right. I'm a rebound. We're not rebounds. God has foreknew. We're engrafted into the original plan. So it's plan A, and God is causing us now, the Gentiles, to provoke the Jews to jealousy, to envy. We are caused now to provoke, where's that scripture? To provoke, this word provoke has really stuck by me. Verse 11. Again, I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. So is this two groups of people? The one mess up, and then the other one lifts them up. And then the other one mess up, and then God says, you lift them up. To provoke is a strong word, right? If I provoke you, Sean, right now, if I provoke you, I don't know what is going to come out of you. You do. Yeah. Provoke, we have such a negative connotation to provoke. The Bible speaks about provoke the Jews unto jealousy. So what does provoke mean? In a biblical sense, the Bible says that we, in Hebrews 10, it says that 23 and 24, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promises is faithful. And let us consider how we spur one another or provoke one another unto love and good deeds. There's that word provoke. It's a positive word in the Bible. Provoke each other to love and good deeds. If you provoke Alex unto love and good deeds, you're going to get even a greater husband. Provoke him. You know, it's provoking each other unto love and good deeds, the Bible says. So with these two people, the Jew and the Gentile, the Jew and the Gentile became one new man under God. One new man under God. Ephesians, I'm going to close with Ephesians 2, and then we're going to pray. We're going to pray for Israel. Again, I was thinking, Lord, I don't know what's all this wars kind of happening. I don't know. I don't know who started it. I don't know who provoked it. I just don't know. But what I know, there's a remnant of people in Israel that we need to pray for, that God will raise up in that place. We pray for the government. We pray for righteousness to prevail in Israel. And whatever happens there, that we will say, Lord, would you encourage the remnant there to keep being faithful? Right? Let's read Ephesians 2:13. It says, and now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near to by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, whom has made two groups one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Wow. So I don't need to feel a Jew, a Gentile. It's like Jesus has brought these two groups because he knew there would always be friction. Like, you're not a Jew, so therefore, you know, that sort of stuff is still happening today. And Jesus, God knew that, and he says, Jew and Gentile, one new man, the walls of hostility, the barrier is broken. By setting aside in his flesh the law, its commands and regulation, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity. Look at that. One new humanity out of the two, thus making peace and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross. I'm engrafted into that now. Even though I understood that God before the foundations of the world, he loved the world, I didn't understand it because I thought I need to be Jew and there's this kind of thing of like tension. You don't have this and there's this superiority going on. No. When Jesus died, he just said, boop, what was is now fulfilled. Isn't that good news? I got excited when I did that and I had a shout in the house like an African because that was really cool. In one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were once far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father, one Spirit. That's my message that God has just given to me. God is faithful. He has chosen you. You're the remnant. Be open. Say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Because now I understand that you've reconciled Jew and Gentile together. I'm part of this. What do you want me to do in LBC? I'm ready now. Now I understand the concept that you've called me for a time such as this. And so God is faithful. And he will continue to do his work in us. And if we don't, he'll find somebody else. I don't want God to say, yeah, I send you to Wales. You didn't do what I called you. You're hanging out too much in Rest Bay and in Tenby. Yeah. I'll find somebody else, Ricardo. Lord, do your purposes while I'm still enjoying Tenby. Good, isn't it? Finding the balance. Let's pray. Let's pray for Israel. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy today. Father, we thank you so much for how you've reconciled Jew and Gentile together. Father, we thank you so much that there's no superiority here. Father, we thank you so much that we all became one new humanity under you. And so, Father, in saying that, we pray, Father, today that LBC, whatever you have for this church today, Lord, and I pray today, Father, that each one of us will realize that we have access to one Spirit, to the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that where people felt rejected, I pray, Father, that your acceptance of your love, because you've lavished your love upon them, and that they are accepted, they love, and they are amazing, Father. So, Father, we just pray today for Israel. We pray for the government. We pray, Father, that you will give the government godly wisdom. Pray for men and women of God who are the remnant, Father. I pray right now that they will sense our prayer, that they will know, Lord, that we're provoking them unto love and good deeds today. Father, we pray favor over the government, Lord. And Father, we pray, Father, that what's happening in these wars, Lord, even in Ukraine and Russia, we pray godly wisdom for leaders. Pray, Lord, that you will speak to them in dreams and in visions, and that reconciliation and peace will prevail. And so, Lord, from this day, that as we prayed it from Lisvain into Israel, into Ukraine, into Russia, we say, let your kingdom come and let your will be done in those nations as it is in heaven. And Lord, as we as a remnant of people think of LBC as well, Lord, Father, we thank you that you know the end from the beginning and that you are faithful to all generations. And so, Father, we just commit LBC, every person who called LBC home, release your purposes in their life in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much.